Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Excuse me. Today is Thursday, August 13th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page XXVIII, paragraph 4. The reading begins, Men and Women Drink. Comments will focus on page XXIX, the third line from the top that begins, after they have succumbed, through there is very little hope of his recovery. Comments will be on these two sentences at the end of the paragraph. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Liz T., 12 Traditions, Lois P. Reader of the text will be Donna W. Margaret D. will read page 164, and Robin P. will be our backup reader. The reference numbers for Wednesday, August 12th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting was 15,146. That's 15146. And for this morning, Thursday, August 13th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 15,151. That's 15151. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Nadia B., and announcements will be Robin P. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Liz T. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Liz.
Hi, good morning. This is Liz T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Minnesota. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for the opportunity to do service.
Thank you, Liz T. And we'll now have Lois P. read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Lois.
Good morning. Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., recovered in New York. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to do service, and thank you, Dawn, for your service. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Lois P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page XXVIII, paragraph 4. The reading begins, Men and Women Drink. Comments will focus on page XXIX, the third line from the top of the page, after they have succumbed. Through there is very little hope of his recovery, we'll be commenting on those two sentences at the end of the paragraph only. I will now ask Donna W. to begin reading. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, Don. This is Donna W., gratefully part of Team Thursday, calling in from Palo Alto, California. Men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. The sensation is so elusive that, while they admit it injurious, they cannot, after a time, differentiate the true from the false. To them, their alcoholic life seems the only normal one. They are restless, irritable, and discontented unless they can again experience the sense of ease and comfort which comes at once by taking a few drinks which they see others taking with impunity. After they have succumbed to the desire again, as so many do, and the phenomenon of craving develops, they pass through the well-known stages of a spree, emerging remorseful, with a firm resolution not to drink again. This is repeated over and over, and unless this person can experience an entire psychic change, there's very little hope of recovery. Well, first of all, I have a note here that this is, you know, the first description of untreated alcoholism, that Dr. Silkworth is really describing to me what my untreated problem is, and Dr. Silkworth is telling me why I am using this substance, because I'm looking for ease and comfort. That's only the first part. So I have this desire. I succumb to the desire, and the desire is telling me that that's in my mind, but then this phenomenon of craving develops, and that's what's going on, you know, on in my body. So what I'm learning here is that there's two parts to my addiction, that I have this desire to eat because I'm looking for some ease and comfort. But once I succumb, once I give in, then there's this physical craving begins. And then I just start looping. It's repeated over and over. And you know, how many times have I emerged remorseful and vowing I'll never do that again? And maybe even within 5 minutes, I've got another cookie in my mouth. And as I've learned from these calls, you know, that our addiction with food, that ease and comfort we get from eating might last a few seconds. You know, other drugs, other substances, you might get at least a few hours hit. You know, we get maybe 8 seconds if we're lucky. So, you know, I'm looking for this psychic change, and I'm looking for a change in my mind-body state. And I'm so grateful the person who shared yesterday was mentioning it's not just for her the food, it's also the act of eating. And for me, that is the case as well. There is something about eating, which I've heard it called like focusing my spotlight. I get this ease and comfort just by eating. Like I can just, like the rest of the world can just drop away, just me and the food. So there's that desire. But, you know, depending on what I'm going to eat, what I'm eating, then I'm going to just keep eating. And, you know, questions I have to ask myself is, you know, have I ever had another solution? No, because the desire comes up because I haven't had a way to provide myself ease and comfort. And then I can't stay stopped on my own. And I need help. And so those are things I need to look at in myself. Psychic means outside the sphere of physical science. So Dr. Silkworth is telling me something I need, something beyond what the science can give us, which he's been saying earlier. And that I need some extra help. And, you know, on page 26 in the big book, when I think it was Roland Hazard, when he goes to see Dr. Jung, Dr. Jung's telling him he's trying to have him, get him to have a vital spiritual experience. And he explains what that is, where he's trying to have huge emotional displacements and rearrangements, ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once the guiding forces of the lives of men, are suddenly cast to one side and a completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate. And so that's what I need. And that's something I can't do on my own. Hi. I need a higher power. Thank you. I need a higher power to do that. And that's what this book is about. This book is about helping me to find a power greater than myself, which can relieve me of my problem. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much for being of service.
Thank you, Donna. And now I'll open up the lines for those who would like to share on those two sentences, starting on page XXIX, the third line from the top, beginning with, after they have succumbed, Drew, there is very little hope of his recovery. We're focusing on those last two sentences of that paragraph. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order to, that others might share their experience too. Now, who would like to share this morning on those last two sentences of that paragraph?
Patty D.
Ginger.
Patty
Ginger
D.
C.
Ginger C.
Georgie.
George E.
Correct.
Becca R.
Becca R.
Lauren N.
Lauren N. Okay, let's start with that lineup. Patty D, Ginger C, George E, Becca R, and Lauren N. Go ahead, Patty.
Hi, this is Patty D, compulsive overeater from Matthews, North Carolina. And I think what strikes me in the reading today is about being irritable without getting that fix. And before I would say that wasn't me, but just this past week I had a relapse of one day and I had finished eating, quote, dinner, which was several bowls of sweet cereal. And then I was looking for more, so I went in the freezer, and my husband had one ice cream bar left in his box. And I went out to the porch where he was. I said, hey, can I have this? And he said, honey, aren't you not supposed to eat that stuff? I was like, can I just have this? I was mad. I was irritable. And he's like, well, yeah, I guess so. And I just shut the door and went inside and sat on the couch and had it to my delight. and it was bad, you know. I wanted that food. And of course, it didn't solve my discontent or my feelings that I didn't want to share with God. It just was food, you know. So I got back on the wagon the next day, and here I am working my program as hard as I can. And that's all I have to say is that, boy, Dr. Silkwood really knew what he was talking about. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Patty D. Ginger C, followed by George E. Good morning, Ginger.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And why is this repeated over and over and over? You know, that was my reality 20 years in OA. This revolving door of relapse, that's all I knew. And I think the most important part is this entire psychic change, not necessarily by completing the 12 steps. I know that's vital. I know that's necessary. And I know that that's why we get busy and we get going in these clear-cut directions. But I think the most important step, the one that I've heard over and over in these 12-step rooms, is step one. And if I don't concede to my innermost self that I am a real compulsive overeater, head to heart, and I really get it, I'm screwed. And a good friend of mine who's a circuit speaker in AA, he says, you know, it's not this resting on laurels and lack of 10, 11, and 12. It's a step one issue. They never got the foundation. And with the foundation, it's everything I'm standing upon for today. So hopefully I don't go to the greatest lie that food is any type of friend of mine. But if I don't get that step completely 100%, guaranteed I'll probably go back. And that was my experience. I wasn't done. I was in pain. I didn't like the reality of where the food was taking me. I didn't like being fat. But was I convinced about this? Absolutely not, until I was. And again, thank God for every beautiful bite, because one less bite, I may not have gotten that head-to-heart connection that I am dependent upon a day at a time for my recovery. So I had to finally give credit where it was due. I always dismissed food because I'm an alcoholic and I'm a drug addict. And people in AA would say, Ginger, it's just ice cream. It's not that bad. Until it became that bad. Until I was suicidal and I couldn't live and I couldn't get out of a bed. So thank God, again, if you're needing research, go get it. Because if you don't get step one completely, and it really is the beginning of an awakening. For an addict to admit that they have a problem and to really get that, that is an entire psychic change. That is amazing. And that is the beginning. So I'm just so grateful that this experience finally happened. Don't give up. You never know how close it can be. And it's amazing, amazing, because not only do we get that step one, then we do these remaining 11 steps. And this amazing higher power that's down deep within just starts rearranging you in ways that you could never get. You could never quite get to the shore. And you're on the shore before you know it. And you're doing amazing work for God, and you're living a life that you never dreamed of. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. George E., followed by Becca R. Good morning, George.
I'm George E., Cincinnati, Ohio, compulsive overeater. Those last two sentences are really, really cool, because what it's telling me is, I'm working the program in reverse. I don't know whether step zero is acceptance or abstinence. I don't claim to be that smart. But I do know that once I start eating, you know, it's awakened, that craving for more. And you know, fighting it doesn't work, at least for me. I there's so much to share on the book as a whole that, you know, it's really tough to focus on that one paragraph. It's just, like, I was listening to a psychologist last night, and he said, just eat protein and wait 10 minutes. well, that works for him and his body type, and he is a doctor, not a medical doctor, and that's great. But abstinence is so much more than that, in my opinion. And I'm really grateful to this program, and I'm really grateful how slowly you guys go through the book. I've always raced through the book, and look where I am, you know, emotionally immature and can't accept reality. I know we're not supposed to talk about food, but I just want to mention this. I looked at a label this morning, or last night, actually, because I can't honestly say I was absent last night, although my blood sugars were good this morning, and thank God. But this thing that is purportedly good has 11% sugar alcohol in it. And that's what this program has done for me. It's taught me to read labels. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, George E. Becca R., followed by Lauren N. Good morning, Becca.
Hey, good morning. It's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. I love the well-known stages of a spree because I could never really pinpoint it until I went through the book with a sponsor. But my well-known stages of a spree, I would wake up, and maybe I would eat breakfast or maybe not, but it would be restrictive. And then I'd have lunch, and I'd either skip it or, again, it'd be restrictive, very few calories. And I'd have my dinner with my family, and same thing, restrictive, very few calories or nothing at all. And that would go on for a couple of days until eventually I would explode and I would have to eat all the food. and then there would be the binge. Sometimes I would purge, but regardless, after that cycle, I would wake up remorseful with firm resolution of how it was going to be different this time, how I was going to do it different this time. And I never saw the nature of the cycles until going through this book with the sponsor. And I love that today, as a recovered woman, my cycles don't have anything to do with food. And instead, I wake up saying the third and seventh step prayer, and I make my bed, and I connect with my higher power. And I do these things throughout the day, just like I would restrict or skip meals or binge, except I do things like make outreach calls or listen to meetings or read the big book with someone, or I take my service into my home, into my community, into my neighborhood. And then at the end of the day, I bookend my day with another prayer, mostly gratitude. And it's like that cycle through the day is so different than the morbid cycle I used to live with the food. And it's just one day at a time, and I don't always do it perfect, but I'm so grateful that you guys have shown me that it's possible. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Becca R. Now we'll have Lauren N., and after Lauren shares, we're going to be opening up the lines for more shares. So be ready for that. Lauren N., good morning.
Good morning. This is Lauren N., compulsive overeater, sugar addict from New York. One day at a time, one day at a time. Boy, can I relate to this irritable, restless, and discontent? I can relate to thank God the doctor taught us what our allergy is. Thank God I am one day at a time recovered from this illness, this sick mind. When I realized that I did not realize how sick I was in this illness. I am a compulsive overeater who cannot put down sugar, who cannot put down any kind of sugar. unless I put it down entirely. It means artificial sweeteners. It means everything. I am so grateful for this program that has taught me that I cannot live any longer in a 285-pound body at 5'1", with diabetes and size 32 in my closet, 18 to 32 in my closet, up and down 100 pounds. I didn't go up and down 5, 10, 15. I went up and down 100 pounds. I was facing my second bariatric surgery and had diabetes. Was giving myself four shots of insulin, of stuff to create insulin in my body every day, and I was still eating sugar. Thank God someone taught me about this allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind, the obsession that does not let go of my mind. I've had the food down for 4 years. I am a size 8, and I will, God willing, not gain this weight back again. For 4 years, I have not had anything in my body that's sugar, and I don't care any longer. I used to walk around every day looking for the next hit. That's exactly what it was. It was a hit of something to ease my discomfort of living. 61 years old today, and I'm happier, joyous, and free every single day of my life than I ever was for my 55 years plus. Thank you for letting me share, and with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Lauren, for your share. Happy birthday. And now we're going to be opening up the lines. We're sharing on page XXIX, the third line from the top of the page. After they have succumbed through, there is very little hope of his recovery. We're commenting on those two sentences at the end of the paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Who would like to share with us this morning?
Nadia.
Nadia. Nadia B. Amelia.
Lorena.
Amelia S., I believe. I heard Terry S.
Robin P. Eileen B.
Robin P. Eileen.
Yes, P.
Eileen P.
Eileen D. Hello. As in David.
Okay, Eileen D. So I have Nadia B., Amelia S., Terry S., Robin P., Eileen D. Who else did I miss?
Lorraine N.
Lorraine N.
Paul L.
Paul L. And who else?
Michelle R. Diane K.
Michelle R. And Diane K. And we'll stop there. And I'm hoping I'll have time for everyone. Let's start with Nadia B., followed by Amelia S. Good morning, Nadia.
Good morning. Thank you so much. Nadia B., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. I love this paragraph. I love this sentences. So much information in this. It actually tells me that I am hopeless unless I experience psychic change, unless I understand that I will always have in my heart, not just with my brain, but I understand and start practicing those things, that phenomenon of craving will always develop. And I love the definition, that one of our fellows gave us in the entire abstinence, that this will become tighter and tighter. This cycle will never stop unless this phenomenon of craving is arrested. Until I'm entirely abstinent, I will be going down, downward spiral. You know, my bouts of binging and purging or whatever that is, that is our behaviors are going to become closer and closer. And eventually, you know, I will become hopeless. And I have had friends who've ended their lives because it becomes so unbearable. So unbearable, this life, this cycle, that we just cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel. We just cannot see hope. So, you know, my only hope is the help that this program offers me. So far, this is the only hope and help that I have found. Otherwise, the repetition of it was so painful, and I could not find reprieve, even in abstinence, because I didn't know that abstinence is not the solution for my problem. Neither is the food my problem in general, that there is a bigger fish to fry, as we say. You know, once I succumb to this desire, once I've ingested something, I cannot control it to save my life. And, you know, I was dying and I didn't even know it. So for me today, entire abstinence is the only hope to arrest this phenomenon of craving so I can have a better chance. I can have some hope. I can have some clarity of mind, and so I can actually deal with whatever the real problem is. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nadia B. Amelia S. Good morning. Star one, Amelia. Okay, maybe I didn't hear it, Amelia. Let's try Terry S. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. This is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon, recovering food addict.
This is Amelia.
Go ahead, Terry. We'll take Amelia after Terry S.
Okay, all right.
Sorry.
No problem. Okay. I mean, the big book is just full of so many gems. This is exactly succumbing to the desire and the phenomenon of craving. Yeah, that was my life before, but that was also my life during the years I was in and out of OA. Just because I was in OA doesn't mean I got rid of the phenomenon of craving. And whether that was spiritual craving, emotional craving, physical craving, I went through the stages of a spree, always coming back with, oh my God, I'm back on the wagon, I'm not going to do this, over and over and over, until I had no hope. I left OA several times, I kept coming back, and then I would leave because I was convinced it didn't work. And 2 years ago, when I came back into OA, I really got it. I have to completely change everything, and I don't have the power to do that. I have to let go of my need to control. I have to let go and have the willingness to let God remove from me the desperate need for people's approval. I have to let go of my arrogance. I have to let go and start living these ideals, which are the principles, the honesty, the perseverance, the spiritual awareness. I don't remember the other nine, but there are 12 principles. That's the psychic change, and that's what gives me hope today. So I'm very, very glad to be here, and with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Terry S. Amelia S., followed by Robin P. Good morning, Amelia. Star 1.
Hey, this is Amelia W. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, Amelia W. Thank you. Good morning. Yes, we can hear you fine.
Okay, great. Sorry about that. My phone's being weird today. So I do want to focus on where it says entire psychic change. I mean, it really is saying that we are really stuck in this loop of, you know, trying to, I mean, really just like control things, try to, you know, only do this or only eat that or only, you know, at certain times or whatever we're trying to do. I mean, I'm definitely have been there and I'm sure others have, like we keep trying to do, I guess, trying to run our own lives. Right. And we really just keep getting stuck into this loop where it's repeated over and over. And we're really just demonstrating the definition of insanity. And unless we get this entire psychic change, then we're really not going to, you know, get the solution to our problem. And that problem is that, you know, we're just, you know, for me, it's I'm seeking that ease and that comfort, that initial ease and comfort in the food and trying to drown out life's problems or my own thoughts or emotions about whatever is going on. And I mean, it even says in the beginning of the paragraph, men and women, you know, eat essentially because they like the effect produced. And so for me, it's, I like life's emotions and life's events and life's problems are building up and they're building up. And if I'm not working my program, I'm not working these 12 steps, then I am going to instead go on this binging spree like this is outlining in this paragraph. And it's just going to repeat over and over because, you know, if we don't have that entire psychic change, there's no hope of the recovery and it's just going to repeat and we're just going to have this downward spiral. So for me, once I figured out what my problem was, once I realized that I was just, you know, again, trying to seek that ease and comfort and drown out life's problems and life's noise, once I found that that was the problem, I worked these steps and now I have that solution and now I have that entire psychic change. And so, yeah, that is the hope of this program. And that's really just what this these last two sentences are outlining. So, yeah, with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Amelia W. We'll now have Robin P. followed by Eileen D. Go ahead, Robin P.
Thank you so much, Dawn. Thank you. I'm Robin P., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. And I'm grateful to be on the meeting. You know, I feel like I worshiped food. Food was my God. Food was the thing that I went to when I was having any issues. You know, when I was restless, irritable, and discontent, food was my God. That's where I just said, please take away my pain. Please help me to celebrate this, whatever it was. And it's such a miracle to put down that God and pick up the God of my understanding today, because living in the steps and living in especially step 10 really helps me these days, you know, and helping other people through steps, but living in 10, 11, and 12, you know, I get to take that restless, irritable, discontent, whatever's going on, the obsession of the mind, and surrender it to God and the steps in the program and get relief and growth. Spiritually, you know, and I either get to grow up or I grow out. And so for me, just focusing on what is this here to teach me and surrendering it and seeing my part and giving it to God and then going helping someone else. It's this tried and true formula that's given to me here so that I have a solution for that instead of having two problems. You know, if when I used to be restless, irritable, and discontent, and then I went to the food, I had two problems. And now I get to have one solution, and I get to grow. And also just the allergy of the body. You know, when I put those things in my, I'm a vegan, And I've been abstinent for almost 5 years now, thank God, by God's grace. And I also do my best to not eat poison, you know, and those kind of things triggered my disease. So I get to know for my body what feels like recovery food and what actually is nourishing my body and what doesn't, you know. So I don't eat gluten. I don't eat things that I know don't work for me, and set up that allergy of the body. So God bless everybody in recovery today. I pray that we all have a very abstinent, blessed day. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Robin. And now we'll have Eileen D. followed by Lorraine N. Good morning, Eileen.
Yes, good morning. I'm Eileen D. Calling from very rain-soaked Maryland. Thank you for your service. I'm going to focus today, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I am going to focus today on just three things: remorseful, firm resolution, and repeated over and over. For me, I was so remorseful whenever I would eat. I mean, almost like someone said earlier, 8 seconds, and I wanted to take it back. I didn't want to be in the food. And everything else in my life, if there was remorse, I would change my pattern. But it never happened with overeating. And so when the good doctor talks about the firm resolution, I would make firm resolutions not to overeat again. I would throw things out. I would have my last night, and I would start in the morning. But it never, ever stuck. And I was firm about most things in life in a good way, in a positive way. But when it came to overeating, I was crushed. And it was my disease repeated itself over and over and over again. I became abstinent in 1989, lost my abstinence, and 10 years later, because I was angry at God. And I spent the next 17 years relapsing. That's a phenomenal amount of time to want, just to be filled with a desire and a longing to not overeat. And to work the program and then leave the program and then come back. So 5 years ago, I put down sugar by God's grace. And another 4 years later, 2 years ago, I became abstinent. And I hold on to that abstinence so dearly because I don't want another 17 years. I don't want. I just know the horrendous sadness of overeating and then realizing it did nothing for me. So I'm here to encourage all my fellows, and I thank you for the depth of compassion and wisdom that the Big Book gives us and to our fellows. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Eileen D. And now we'll have Lorraine N. followed by Paul. And Paul, if you could give me your initial. So Lorraine N., good morning.
Good morning. Happy to be here. I'm filled with so much gratitude this morning for this program. First I'll just share an incident that happened a couple of weeks ago. I weigh myself on the first of every month. And the night before the first, I was sitting here reading and I was feeling pretty peaceful. And all of a sudden, I had the thought that when I get on that scale tomorrow, if I'm at or below my goal weight, I've been at my normal weight for several months, I'm going to go get a couple of pints of ice cream. And the minute I had that thought, I was paralyzed with fear because it seemed to come out of nowhere, and it's my old behavior. I mean, that is exactly what I did in every Weight Watchers or club or anything I ever tried. As soon as I was at my goal weight, you know, I would stay there for 15 minutes and start eating again. And same thing with Weight Watchers. I'd check in every week and I'd binge that night, and so I could get it off by the following week. And, you know, just that whole horrible cycle of insanity. And so anyway, when I had that thought, I thought, oh, my God. That was my first thought, God. And then I thought, you have to call someone and tell them you're having this stinking thinking. And so I sat here ruminating about that for 3 hours until I could almost taste that food going down my throat. And I then I texted someone that I know in this program with many years of recovery. And I asked if she had time to talk, and she texted me back and said, give me 10 minutes. In 10 minutes, she called me, and I told her, excuse me. And we chatted and laughed, and by the time I ended the phone, we ended the phone call, you know, the desire was gone. And she said to me, if you wake up tomorrow and get on that scale and have any thought like that, call me. And I got up in the morning and I got on the scale. I'm right on the money, and I was fine. I mean, the thought was gone. And so what I'm saying from that is that that for me was a personality change, a complete psychic change, something I've been a muscle I have been exercising since I've been working this program. And I just am so excited because I'm finally using the tools. And they work, and it's not that difficult. It was before for me to call someone or pick up the phone.
Time.
And oh dear, okay. Well, the big book says a few things 1,000 times, and I'm so grateful I get to study it with you. Thank you. I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Lorraine N. And Paul, Michelle, and Diane, unfortunately, we're not going to have time for all of you. I would ask Paul and Michelle to each give 2 two-minute shares, and then we should be able to have time for both of you. I'm sorry about that, Diane. Please come back tomorrow to share. Paul, good morning. What is the initial of your last name, Paul?
Good morning. Grateful to be here. It's Paul L. from Fernandina Beach, Florida.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just real grateful. You know, I like the, you know, if I couldn't do this on my own, and I needed the spiritual awakening. And my spiritual experience was not some kind of flash of God and everything's peaceful and great and beautiful and no problems. It was just, it was really subtle. It was, I woke up one morning and I realized I didn't binge the night before. And then it happened another night. And then before you know it, it's almost 2 months later and I still haven't done it. And that's my spiritual awakening. And whenever I had the thought, it's a miracle, as I was saying before the meeting, whenever I had the thought of eating or binging, I did it. I blew off whatever my responsibilities were at night usually, and I just ate and isolated. And I'm so thankful that I don't have to do that today. I still have to remember it on myself. Sometimes I skip breakfast and lunch, but I still don't binge, but I know that from my sponsor said that still restricting is what I'm learning. So I'm a work in progress, but I feel so... I just feel better. I feel free, you know, and I'm going to have to teach myself and force myself to eat a bigger lunch and to, because I'm not used to eating those things. You know, I'm used to nighttime binging and that's it. So it's a lot to learn, and I'm glad I'm on the path, and I ain't going nowhere. So thank you guys for being here. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Michelle R., will you share with us
Hi.
This morning?
Yes, I will. Michelle R., compulsive overeater in Bentleyville, Ohio. I am looking at these two sentences, and they are our whole disease in a nutshell, as my sponsor taught me, the circle of addiction. And I find, I mean, we've all done the same things over and over again. We've dieted, we've lost, we've gained. It talks about repeating over and over. And unless this person can experience an entire psychic change, there is very little hope. I did have a real psychic change the first time. And unfortunately, thereafter, you know, a while, months later, I relapsed. And I fought and I fought and I worked and I worked and tried to have the same type of spiritual experience again. And, you know, I want you all to know it doesn't have to be the same. I was trying too hard. And, you know, there's the experience of the educational variety as well. It took me a while, but I got it. And I'm there, and I'm so grateful to be there. And don't give up. You know, these things take time, and if you just embrace this whole program and dive in, there's hope for all of us. I wish everybody luck and to stay safe. I pass.
Well, thank you, Michelle, and thank you to everyone who shared this morning. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Margaret D. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only, until keep you until then. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to be of service. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.